Good morning, colleagues. We're happy to welcome all of you. And we carry on with our series of press conferences ahead of the general shareholder meeting of PGC Gazprom. We're going to discuss gas infrastructure expansion in Russian regions today with LLC Gazprom Mezhregion Gaz General Director, Mr. Sergei Gustov. Over to Sergei now for a presentation, then we'll proceed with your questions. Thank you. Colleagues, friends, journalists, I'm very happy to welcome all of you from St. Petersburg here. Gas infrastructure expansion in Russian regions is a really trending topic these days, and LLC Gazprom Mezhregion Gaz is a dedicated entity by Gazprom to provide gas into the Russian regions. Obviously, that's one of the priority areas for Gazprom Group set forth by the Russian president. As you are aware, Mr. Vladimir Putin instructed Gazprom to provide 100% technically feasible gas distribution access by the year of 2030 and ensure that happens in shortest time span in those cities, towns and villages where gas is already available. We're going to discuss that in a short while. In 2020, Gazprom worked hard together with the Russian regions to endorse and develop and endorse gas infrastructure expansion programs for the period of 2021 through 2025. So before 2021 started, back in December 2020, we completed drafting those five-year plans for the Russian regions. Well, obviously, that was happening with great involvement of the regional authorities representing the executive branch of power, given the fact that the regional governors have most up-to-date information about the current demand, development plans and growth points in their respective regions. They are aware where production is going to be developed, where housing construction is underway and so on. Taking into account these needs of the Russian regions, we have shaped up together five-year plans for gas infrastructure expansion. Back in December 2020, we also drafted and executed with the regions a dedicated plan for 2021 to synchronize our efforts, and that is currently underway. That's an integral element of those five-year gas infrastructure expansion programs. In 2021, given the synced timeline, we're working to carry out the programs, and in order to make it happen, we're going to invest 128 billion rubles in the year of 2021, while the five-year span would cover 526.1 billion rubles, which is nearly three times higher than the previous scope of investments in the previous 5 years of 2016 through 2020. Once the 2021 through 2025 programs have been implemented, we intend to achieve full technically feasible gas infrastructure expansion in 35 regions of the Russian Federation. In my quick introduction, I would like to focus specifically on the roadmap approved by the Russian government back on the 30th of April this year. That roadmap is dedicated to implement socially oriented and economically feasible gas infrastructure expansion and gas supply to the Russian regions. This roadmap includes the following: setting up the integrated program operator, IPO, the integrated program operator for the gas infrastructure expansion program. It also provides for improvement of the regulatory system to streamline and simplify gas infrastructure expansion and gas distribution. I will be happy to dwell upon that in greater detail later on. This work has already started. You may hear that from the media that the Russian Lower Chamber of Parliament, State Duma, has made into a law a bill that really simplifies the gas distribution procedure and gas infrastructure expansion. Next major area of the roadmap is about improvement in the level of automation and digitalization for management of the gas distribution grids. Fourth block is about improved safety of household use of gas. And finally, we target most comfortable conditions for our gas users. I'm talking about a one-stop shop system with a comprehensive gas supply agreement and the possibility to bid for gas connection via the government service portal. What we are used to now in other industries is going to be implemented as part of the roadmap in question. Now, on the 1st of June 2021, the Russian State Duma rubber-stamped in its third reading, and the upper chamber, the Federation Council, has also endorsed changes into a federal law on gas supply in the Russian Federation. These amendments target this integrated program operator and facilitate their work, as well as the procedure for connecting to the gas distribution grid. Here we are talking about three major steps. Step one is about construction of trunk connecting pipeline, as you can see on the chart on the screen. So it's trunk connecting pipeline as well as the gas distribution stations. So that is going, so trunk connecting pipeline, the gas distribution station, and connections between towns and villages are going to be built at the expense of PGC Gazprom. That's the 526 billion rubles in the span of 5 years. Step two is about construction of pipelines within the villages and settlements up to the land plots of the end users. You can see that's the integrated program operator and their responsibility to distribute gas within a particular village or town or urban area, so taking that last mile to the land plot of the end user. And finally, the block in the bottom right-hand side on the chart, that's the pipelines within the house, and then the boiler or the gas oven. All of that will be funded by the consumer, of course. Another important element within the program is about the so-called additional gas infrastructure expansion. It's part of the documentation also signed up by the Russian president. The president addressed the Federal Assembly of the Russian Federation and instructed the executive branch of power within the Russian regions, as well as PGC Gazprom, to ensure that by the 1st of January 2023, those villages, towns, and settlements that have gas available would need to provide gas pipelines up to the land plot of the consumers if they have placed a bid for such a connection. And within a short time span, we need to define the conditions for this connection. As of now, the Ministry of Energy of Russia is working with the Gazprom Group, administrations of the Russian regions, and gas distribution organization to collect information about a potential scope of work for this additional gas infrastructure expansion in the regions. We started that effort on the 30th of April, and throughout the month of May, the local gas distribution companies led by the executive branch of power in the regions have really scrutinized all the towns and settlements where gas is available. They have counted the number of potential land plots and households that are eligible for the additional gas infrastructure expansion program. On top of that, amendments into decrees of the Russian government are being drafted to implement the integrated program operator. Obviously, we need to get amended the rules for connections, the guidelines for connections of capital construction facilities to gas distribution grid. Grids are as approved by the decree of the Russian government, number 1314. That's one of the key bylaws we use in our daily operations. Obviously, the new circumstances require some amendments. Further changes, major changes, are required into the decree of the Russian government number 1021, which defines gas price regulations. So there would be the integrated program operator as well as regional program operators, and then independent gas infrastructure development operators. Major changes into this federal government decree 1021 would define the list of bidders who would be eligible for a free of charge connection of their land plot to the pipeline. So the changes in question would clearly outline the procedure to be followed. One other objective, which is an integral element and important element of the roadmap, is about smart gas metering. I have mentioned on numerous occasions previously that digital services are our priority today. I'm talking about online payments, online customer service, and convenient online accounts. I'm sure all of you, or many of you, use natural gas, and you see how much we have advanced down that track. As of now, we have 31,684,000 accounts of consumers or the end users of gas, and we're working hard to ensure that all the data collected automatically. Our purpose is to make sure that ease of pay is there for our customers. We work with Russian platforms and cooperate with Russian banks and financial partners as well as telecom companies. A hallmark agreement was signed at the St. Pete Economic Forum held recently, which is exactly about that, working with the banks and the Russian telecom operator. Now, the pace of gas infrastructure expansion could be tracked at gazprommap.ru website. That's a map of gas infrastructure expansion in the Russian regions. The website contains maps and reference data on 67 regions of the Russian Federation who are party to the gas infrastructure expansion and gas supply development program by PGC Gazprom covering the years of 2021 through 2025. You can zoom in up to the village and settlement level so that each person living in Russia could take a look at our plans to provide gas to their region, city, or village. This website is linked to by all Gazprom Group internet websites, and the same is true for Gazprom Mezhregion Gas, of course. You can also keep track of the news at the official Telegram channel of PGC Gazprom called Gazprom Mezhregion Gas News. Definitely explain all the news about the gas infrastructure expansion program as it's ongoing. I would, at the end of my presentation, I would like to underline it yet again. Gas infrastructure expansion in Russia represents a strategic development area for us. By the year of 2030, we need to ensure that gas availability in Russia is such that we have completely coped with the technically feasible gas distribution and infrastructure expansion in Russia, and I'm confident that this objective set forth by the Russian president is going to be delivered. I would like to thank you for your attention at this point, and I'm ready to take your questions now. Thank you, Mr. Gustav. Colleagues, we have a lot of journalists accredited for this press conference. In order to make sure that everyone has a chance to ask a question, let's agree that everyone commits to asking just one or maybe two questions maximum. If there are any further questions remaining, the press service department, the PR department of Gazprom Mezhregion Gas, will be happy to handle those. Their contacts are available at the website. We're happy to proceed with the Q&A session. Oksana Kobzeva, Thomson Reuters, please go ahead. Good morning. Hello. Yes, we can hear you. Yes, we can both see and hear you. Hello. I have a general question, an overarching subject related to the gas distribution strategy of Gazprom. Can you suggest how material that program is for Gazprom, given the costs involved? Oksana, could you please repeat your question, because we have lost you for a bit. Yes. Here's my question. Once you have completed the gas infrastructure expansion program in 2025, how much of a demand increase would you see for the actual gas supplied? And can you compare that with the costs of the program involved? Gazprom Međuregion Gas Group's share in total sales of gas in Russia, as at the end of 2020, stood at 72%. I can tell you that we sold 243.7 billion cubic meters of gas domestically. We see significant demand for natural gas in Russia. Currently, gas infrastructure expansion program is really there to develop the Russian regions, to ensure that Russian citizens over this vast territory, which lies in northern areas to a great degree, find comfort in their homes. We have run some numbers preliminarily, of course. Once the full year, well, once the full program in 5 years has been implemented, that would mean an increase of gas consumption by about 18.6 billion cubic meters, or 7.5% in relative terms, from the baseline of current consumption or gas sales in total. Generally speaking, the gas infrastructure expansion program would create conditions to provide gas to more than 3,000 boilers and a large number of industrial off-takers, not only households, as well as huge numbers of private households, with a special focus on rural areas. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Energy Intelligence. Vitaly Sokolov, please go ahead. Good morning, Mr. Gustav. Hello. My question was exactly about your market share. You have mentioned the number of 72% as at the end of 2020. What's the development of that market share according to your assessment for 5 or 10 years ahead? I'm wondering, could you share your views about the future and whether Gazprom would like to ramp up its gas sales via the exchange? Commodity exchange. Dali, thank you for your questions. Unfortunately, your second question falls out of the scope of this press conference today, while Mr. Gustav will be happy to handle your first question. Vitaly, can you please repeat your first question? The market share. You have mentioned 72% in 2020. What's the evolution within 5 to 10 years ahead? Thank you. I have mentioned that gas infrastructure expansion in the Russian regions in the coming 5 years would boost gas consumption by 7.5%, up to 7.5%. So I believe that Gazprom is going to remain at around 70 to 72% of the total market share, because the remainder is supplied by independent gas producers. I'm not going to give you the full list. You're all aware of those names. Speaking of the commodity exchange trading, Gazprom always has sufficient supply on the exchange. If you consider the numbers from the previous periods, you'll see that 80 or 90% of the demand is covered by the supply side of Gazprom. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Sandra. Our next question is coming from JP Morgan. Ms. Angelina Glazova, please go ahead. Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to ask a question. I have a question about the funding sources for this gas infrastructure expansion plans, which are socially oriented. Yes, please comment on the sources of funding you intend to use in the nearest future. You have also discussed recently a general plan supplied by the government, which is allocating some funding as well for socially oriented gas infrastructure expansion. They're talking about potential gas shares and potential hike in gas domestic gas tariff. How likely is that to happen? Can you comment? As regards the funding to implement the gas infrastructure expansion and gas supply in the Russian regions, well, the sources of funding are clearly defined. That money will be coming from PGC Gazprom. 526.1 billion is to be allocated in the span of 5 years. We have that number confirmed, and we have the funding allocated already for the year of 2021 in the amount of 128 billion rubles. In terms of connecting land plots within the additional gas infrastructure expansion, I'm talking about connecting land plots in settlements and villages where gas is already available. Here we have the decree of the Russian government with a roadmap, and it's item 20. The Russian government is to provide proposals before the 1st of July this year to identify additional sources of financing or funding for this program. Based on the current analysis, this money will be coming from the integrated program operator. That's the understanding. Thank you. Thank you. And our next question is coming from Olga Ireva, TASS. Good morning. Let me clarify one point. Please advise whether Gazprom has finished the stock-taking exercise, so to say, in those villages and settlements where socially oriented gas infrastructure expansion plan is to happen. Is there any preliminary valuation? I've heard a number of 100 billion. If not, then what's the timeline? Could you clarify? And one final point, whether any plans for the gas infrastructure expansion could be changed where receivables are too high for you, and what's going to happen to those regions who are not paying on time for the gas. Now, on the so-called social gas infrastructure expansion, and generally speaking, the gas infrastructure expansion and gas supply program, we do not have any link here to the receivables in question. This is not the subject of our today's press conference. I can tell you that heat supply companies and industrial producers have paid at nearly 100%, or about that number. It's no secret that in 2020 we only have an increase in receivables for the households, which is clearly explainable. That's the effect of the COVID-19 pandemic and the decree of the Russian government, which prevented the supplies of gas from cutting off gas flows to households because of their debt. But the first quarter of 2021, we see an improvement on the receivable side of such off-takers. Obviously, there is no link between this gas infrastructure expansion plan or program and the amount of receivables, because that is not any major issue on the agenda. Finally, I would like to break your question down. We have a few programs that I have mentioned in my presentation that with the 67 regions, we have the financing allocated, the schedule has been synced, contracts have been signed, general contractors selected, so work is ongoing. And many of you can see how actively we are building new pipelines in the Russian regions, so that's underway. The additional gas infrastructure expansion, which is supposed to be fast-tracked before the year of 2023. Well, the only thing I can tell you that throughout the month of May, we have been working on the instruction of the Ministry of Energy of Russia, doing the stock-taking exercise in the Russian regions to identify the number of land plots eligible for the additional gas infrastructure expansion program. It's about 1.5 million households. And more, 1.5 million and more. So in the nearest future, I think about 2 weeks' time or so, we'll be able to share these numbers with you, broken down by each region. Moreover, having identified the connection length to each house, because the definition is up to 200 meters, so this could be 30 meters or 150 meters, we'll identify the per unit cost of one connection, and then we'll be able to give you the full number of the total cost to be incurred throughout the country. That's a really dedicated subject. And let me explain why. This effort needs to be completed before the 1st of January 2023, as instructed by the Russian president. So that is a truly ambitious objective, which we'll be working on and deliver. Thank you. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Vedomosti, Matvey Katkov. Please go ahead. Yeah, hello. Here's my question. Are you considering that gas could be taken not to the border of a land plot, but rather to the house built on it? And another question, what's the shortage on the financing side of your gas infrastructure expansion program? And finally, whether Gazprom is potentially considering an additional issue of securities to finance the program? Thank you. Well, Gazprom's costs to build a trunk connecting pipeline and gas distribution stations, as well as pipelines within between villages and settlements, have already been defined. 526.1 billion rubles, to be repeated. This money is available and confirmed by the budgets. Moreover, very recently, just a few days back, we had the board of directors' decision to bring in perpetual bonds by Gazprom Capital in order to finance this program, among other things. Now, on the additional gas infrastructure expansion plan, this money will be coming from the integrated program operator. And the amount is to be decided on in the very near future. The Russian federal government is then to decide on the sources of funding. That's all I can tell you at this point. Question, just a quick follow-up. Maybe you could take us to the house rather than the land plot? No, not the border of the land plot, but to the house. Okay, let's imagine any village in Russia, because it's just a few meters normally from the border of the land plot. It's just 1, 2, 3, or 5 meters, at least that's my understanding, to my knowledge of how villages and settlements are, what villages and settlements are. Because you don't normally build a house somewhere very far back. It's very close to the street where we're going to have the pipeline. At the same time, the land is privately owned there, so building a pipeline on private land is an extremely difficult thing for the integrated program operator. We'll be building the pipeline up to the border of the land plot, and we'll have a connecting point on the border, exactly, just over the fence, so to say. So the few meters that remain would not be too difficult to handle for the homeowner, because what's inside the house, like the boiler or the cooking oven, need to be procured by the homeowners anyway. And then Ms. Matviyenko of the Federation Council, the Speaker of the Federation Council, when approving amendments to Law 69, suggested us to consider whether we can bring the pipeline to the very foundation of the house. We are now thinking about it, but in some of the Russian regions, this has already been successfully resolved, at least for families with many children, low-income families, and other citizens with social benefits. The regional budgets would compensate up to 100% of the homeowners' costs for in-house piping. This needs to be extended as a practice, of course, because everyone in the country needs to be equally treated in terms of getting access to gas and use this highly technological and very economically efficient fuel. Thank you. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Lyudmila Podobedova, RBC. Please go ahead. Good morning. Lyudmila Podobedova, RBC. Please advise if you have an understanding of further investments up until the year 2030, or are you only talking about the program up until 2025? Thank you. And one further question to clarify, those regions where Gazprom is not that active, where we're talking about the independent gas producers, is Gazprom going to be involved in gas infrastructure expansion at all, or is that to be handled only by the independents? I'm talking about the regions of Murmansk and Chelyabinsk. And finally, could you give us a list of top five regions with most receivables for the first half of 2021 or 2020. Thank you. Okay. Gas infrastructure expansion and gas supply program. Let me reiterate this. We have signed agreements with 67 regions of the Russian Federation. The scope of funding has been defined. Projects are available. General contractors have been selected. So there is no question about it. 67 regions in total. Now, the additional gas infrastructure expansion plan and the integrated program operator, the government of the Russian Federation is to decide on that in the nearest future. I can tell you that with every Russian region, we're most probably going to have the gas distribution or gas distribution grid operator. As far as the city of, as far as the region of Murmansk is concerned, we don't have any trunk pipelines there, so this is not discussed. I'm referring to additional gas infrastructure expansion. Now, the region of Chelyabinsk, it's probably going to be one of the grid operators. They have three in total in Chelyabinsk. All of them are owned by Gazprom Mezhregiongaz. The Russian government is then to decide which one is to be selected as the regional program operator. Let's say Gazprom Gazorespredelenie Chelyabinsk, which is going to be the regional program operator who will be handling the social element of the program with additional gas infrastructure expansion as well. Now, on the payment side, the receivables, again, this is outside the scope of today's press conference, but let me quickly respond. Based on the full year of 2020, we have nearly 100% of collection ratio. On the heat supply, for example, we got more than 100% of payments. Everyone has paid for their current use of heat and have partially paid down the outstanding debt. There were a few questions about receivables from households, but generally speaking, as of now, with 5 months into 2021, I can tell you that the trend is clearly positive. We are getting paid for the current use, and we are getting compensated for 2020. But responding directly to a question on the top five regions, well, traditionally, we are talking here about some regions in the federal district of Northern Caucasus. Then, quite unfortunately, the region of Tver, Samara, Saratov, and Stavropol Krai. But we are working with them, with dedicated plans towards that end. Regional authorities and regional governors understand their responsibility. They need to improve payment discipline. I'm confident we'll be able to tackle that in the nearest future. Thank you. Thank you, colleagues. And again, I would kindly ask you to focus on the subject of today's press conference and limit yourselves to two questions max. Denis from Fontanka, please go ahead. Denis, please go ahead with your question. My apologies for this interruption. Thank you. Do you have an understanding of the money to be paid by a single off-taker to connect the pipe you bring to the border of the land plot, which is going to have some connection point, you're saying, up to the house? If we're talking about something different than a large farm, just a general standard, more or less private house with and how are you going to have that approved? You're saying it's about a few meters of pipeline, but life experience tells me it could be rather challenging. So do you understand how much that's going to cost? And my apologies about the debt outstanding from Northern Caucasus. The most recent number here is about 100 billion rubles, or nearly so. Have these numbers changed since the start of the year? And why would these numbers change? Thank you. Okay. I can tell you that if we're talking about land plots or households within 200 meters of gas pipelines, exceed 1.5 million in total. I have given you this number already. We are currently working to deliver on the instruction of the Russian president and complete that effort before the 1st of January 2023. In order to set up that effort, the Ministry of Energy has circulated a dedicated questionnaire form to understand the scope of work for this additional gas infrastructure expansion. That's step one. So within the upcoming 2 weeks, we need to consolidate the data and we'll definitely make it publicly known to the community as to how much of an investment it would require from homeowners, exactly the number you're asking about. Generally speaking, homeowners would need to buy a boiler and a cooking oven. They would probably need some heating batteries on top of the boiler if they would like to have their home heated. So that would be the bulk of the amount they would need to spend in order to benefit from natural gas. One, two, three, or even 5 meters of the pipe itself between the border of the land plot and the gas equipment would be a trifle, really. It would be 5 or 10% of the total spending they would require to get all the equipment in place. I can tell you we have I can tell you that one can buy some very good and efficient boilers produced in this country. Like, we have a company of the group, Gazprom Householding Systems, which operates four factories producing high-class ovens. which are really good quality, and they cost not that much at all. Russian boilers are now available in the market as well, with 16 or 18 various models. Gas distribution companies are going to offer to Russian citizens to buy these sets of highly reliable Russian-produced equipment. I would like to reinforce this message. The actual few meters from the land plot to the house or to the boiler room would not be defining the bulk of the costs for each particular homeowner. Now, speaking of Northern Caucasus, I can tell you this. We have seen a significant improvement in the Republic of Chechnya, Ingushetia, North Ossetia or Alania. Traditionally good metering numbers in the Republic of Kabardino-Balkaria and the Republic of Karachaeva-Cherkessia. We see better payment from all these regions. And I would like to direct your attention to the following fact. I would like to say a big thank you to all governors of regions in the Northern Caucasus, because we are actively working together to get into high collection numbers. I can't give you the number out of the top of my head. I wouldn't want to give you an approximation, and I don't have the exact number on hand with me. Denis, I'm ready to share with you bilaterally all the numbers as to the outstanding amount from Northern Caucasus, but I can't do that right now. Thank you. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Karina Lavrentieva, Gas Industry Magazine. Thank you. I have several questions about the technologies which new technological projects are being implemented by Gazprom Mezhregion Gas to improve efficiency of the gas infrastructure expansion in the Russian regions. We are aware of a dedicated investment management system that is being put in place. Could you tell us more about it? Also, taking into account the trends towards more digitally driven projects, Mezhregion Gas is targeting a national platform for gas distribution, and I'm wondering what's the completion stage of that project. Thank you, Karina. Speaking of the gas distribution or gas infrastructure expansion program, we definitely resort to most modern gas distribution technologies. I have been a strong proponent of having the pipes underground, and these must be made of polyethylene so that we didn't have to protect the metal, because polyethylene pipes would be there for 50 or 70 years, no problem, without any need of paint. I have been a strong proponent of having modern gas meters and valves, and on top of that, Gazprom Mezhregion Gas has a technical council which is really pushing for the innovation driven Gazprom Mezhregion Gas policy in construction of new pipelines. We also have a dedicated voluntary certification system where we test all equipment to be used in gas infrastructure expansion programs, so that effort is well underway. Only high-quality equipment and materials would be used to do construction and generally expand the gas infrastructure in Russian regions. However, and we are also actively implementing all sorts of additional services to make the life of our consumers more comfortable. I have already referred to our efforts to improve the personal accounts on the websites. Last week, we signed a tripartite cooperation agreement between Gazprom Mezhregion Gas, Gazprom Bank, and PJC Rostelecom. As you are aware, PJC Rostelecom is running their program to cover the digital gap or digital inequality, so that pretty much every village and settlement in Russia would have fiber optic internet connection. So, every citizen of Russia would need to have a smart gas metering point, which would feed data to us in real time. We'll see their consumption volume and will administer the system, will automate the system. As for the consumer, it would be a very plain service on their desktop computer or even on their mobile phone. So we'll see how much gas is consumed this year vis-a-vis last year. Maybe they need to shut the doors better, you know, or save the heat somehow. I can tell you that for many people, monthly payment for gas is comparable to what they pay for telecom services. Our target here is to ensure that this service is simple, reliable, convenient, and easy to understand, so that everyone understands what they have consumed and how much, and how much they need to pay for that, and within what time frame. Similar software is available in other industries. We need to do that for gas as well. This is one of our priorities. But thank you, Karina, for your question. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Anton Foichenko, Interfax Northwest. Can you hear me? Yep. Hello, Mr. Gustav. Here's my question. Um, 2030 is the target year when technically feasible gas infrastructure expansion needs to be completed. And on top of those villages and settlements where gas could be technically available, there is a lot more where gas pipeline gas is not feasible to take to. Does Gazprom Mezhregion Gas have a solution for such villages and settlements where pipeline gas is economically unfeasible or technically impossible? Thank you. Well, gas distribution and gas infrastructure expansion program is there to be defined once the fuel mix has been defined for every region. This may get you confused, and let me help you sort it out. Well, let's take the case of the Leningrad region. This region defines their fuel mix, and they decide where they need to have natural gas. Obviously, there are some villages and settlements with only 3 to 5 houses remotely located, and the pipeline is like 20 kilometers away, and they would have rivers and railways in between. So the regional government of Leningrad region decides they don't need gas there. Cooking the food would be easier with a propane butane mix. Many of you used to those red vessels. With propane butane mix, which is the byproduct of oil refining. We are talking about technically possible gas infrastructure expansion. That's 100% implementation of the gas supply layout in each of the Russian region. Again, let me give you a case of the Leningrad region. Just as an example, 412 settlements are going to get gas in the 5 years to come. All of those are part of the gas supply layout developed by the Leningrad regional government. So we will have delivered on that layout plan 100%. You are aware that last year, Priozorsk, the last district center in the Leningrad region, got connected to the gas grid, so their boilers operated on gas throughout the winter, taking gas down to every single small, tiny village, to every house in the country. That's highly unlikely, frankly speaking. It doesn't make any sense because, in any case, one must be reasonable in that effort. So we're talking about the fuel mix target for every region and the gas supply layout, which is developed based on the fuel mix defined by the regional government. That's the story, Anton. Thank you. Our next question from Dmitry Gorkin, GTRK. Hello. Thank you for this opportunity to ask a question. Mr. Gustav, you have partially covered my question, but we're interested specifically about the region of Vladimir. Significant money, that's 8.5 billion rubles, is to be invested into gas infrastructure expansion in the region of Vladimir. However, a major problem is about utility companies and their receivables to you. I'm wondering if that going to be any hindrance to the gas infrastructure expansion program. Thank you, Vladimir. Indeed, the gas infrastructure expansion and the gas supply program in Vladimir region is very ambitious, with 8.5 billion rubles allocated towards construction of pipelines between villages and settlements only. We are actively working towards timely payment of gas with the region of Vladimir, among other regions. By the way, speaking of 2020, we saw a downturn in receivables in Vladimir region as compared to the number we saw back in 2019. Speaking of industrial off-takers and household off-takers, the situation has really improved. This morning, I talked to Mr. Konyshev, and we have discussed the number of households eligible eligible for additional gas infrastructure expansion program. It's 22,000 for the region of Vladimir. According to the instruction of the Russian president, additional gas infrastructure expansion is going to be completed by the 1st of January 2023. So I have the number for you. Speaking of the region of Vladimir, our colleagues from the region of Vladimir has already reported on the 22,000 households eligible in their region to us and to the Ministry of Energy. So that's a large-scale program, Dmitry, and as you can see, it's being implemented in pretty much every district of the Vladimir region. I'm confident we'll be able to deliver against our plan in the years to come. Thank you. Thank you. Our next question is coming from the region of Tver. Olga Veresova, Afanasy Business Magazine, newspaper. Thank you. Mr. Gustav, I have a question on the same issue, gas infrastructure expansion, this time in the region of Tver. PGSC Gazprom has developed a program to design and construct Rzhev to Nelidovo trunk connection pipeline. You're also planning to build three gas distribution stations, Nelidovo, Olenivo, and Western Dvina. This is going to cover five territories, Nutsky, Arenensky, and West Nedimsky, as well as Ibersky and Topsky districts. So five areas which did not have gas are going to get it. On top of that, Tver region has its own regional program up until 2021 covering design program for the Rzhev-Nelidovo trunk connection pipeline. In that program, this trunk connection pipeline is much shorter. Our newspaper has information that the regional program would be implemented. That would mean taking gas to one territory rather than five, the Nelidov City District. I'm wondering whether those other four districts are going to get the gas. Thank you. Olga? I believe you have answered to the same question you're asking with your own words, but let me try to comment. Well, the governor of the region of Tver has asked us to include these pipelines into the gas infrastructure and gas infrastructure expansion and gas distribution program up until the region of 2021 through 2025, including the Nelidovo trunk connection pipeline and the gas distribution station, even though that project was already underway, being designed at the expense of the regional government in Tver. Mr. Alexei Miller, the chairman of the management committee at Gazprom, has accepted that request. So we are going to take the existing project devised by the regional government of Tver region. We are going to analyze it at PGC Gazprom with an internal assessment and will commence construction. Whereas Olenina gas distribution station and a Western Dvina gas distribution station. So that means further. So that first step is going to be part of our program. We'll simply buy that project from the region of Tver, while construction of the gas distribution stations at Olenina and Western Dvina will be running as defined in the gas infrastructure expansion and gas distribution development program for the region of Tver. So, Olga, you have that program for the 5 years. Is available. You can ask your regional administration, you can ask us, you can open up GazpromMap.ru website. All these facilities are there for you. Let me reiterate this idea. Even though we do have issues with payments in the region of Tver, mostly by heat supplies, and mostly because the issue of tariffs has not been settled. When heat power is has such a low tariff, or the heat supplies are not fully capable of paying for the natural gas supplied. Nonetheless, we have a very ambitious program to expand the gas infrastructure and develop gas distribution in the region of Tver. We're going to do that for sure. And the region of Tver is the center of Russia, 150 kilometers away from Moscow. Obviously, that must be, that must have access to gas, and we're happy to take on that effort. We have accepted all requests from your regional authorities. Thank you. Thank you. Our next question is coming from the Republic of Altai, Galina Mironova, Altai Star newspaper. Galina, please go ahead with your question. My apologies. Good morning. Mr. Gustav, our readers are interested in the prospects of gas supply at Chemal district. We have a lot of health resorts and greenhouses there. Moreover, it's the only health resort for people suffering from tuberculosis. That's the only one in Siberia in the Far East. It's called Chemal, like the district. When are the locals to expect gas? In order to supply gas to the district of Chemal, we need to connect Nizhnye Kayancha, Lower Kayancha gas distribution station to the village of Manjirok. This is going to supply gas to three villages in the district and six settlements to three villages and six settlements in the district of Chemal. On top of that, in June 2021, that's before the end of this month, we intend to connect a major city district of Gorno-Altaysk city, that's city district number 21. And generally speaking, we are talking about new gas distribution grids to 13 settlements, and that would mean about 16,000 households in total, and municipally owned boilers. So soon we'll be getting to the district of Chemal. Thank you. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Ibrahim Tsiroyev, GTRK, Ingushetia. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Mr. Gustav, I also have a question about Juraski district and the health resort there. Do you intend to supply gas with the help of the additional gas expansion program? Well, thank you for your question. Indeed, we plan to construct a pipeline connecting the health resort for children called Erzay at Juraksky district of the Republic of Ingushetia. It's going to be 52 kilometers in length. That would supply gas directly, not only to the health resort, but also to other villages and settlements along the way of the pipeline in the district of Jurak. It's the health resort, the school, a kindergarten, and other socially important facilities. The tourist cluster across the federal district of Northern Caucasus have been fully implemented, has been fully accepted into the gas infrastructure expansion program up until 2025. I'm talking about Vedoche Health Resort in Chechnya and Nomison Skiing Resort in North Ossetia, Alania. We're already building the pipes there. In the month of July, we intend to complete construction of a pipeline to the settlement of Tiberda. That's a settlement which takes skiers to the health to the skiing resort of Dombai. In that sense, all skiing resorts of Northern Caucasus have been made part of the program and will receive gas in the nearest years. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Karachayeva Cherkessia, Arhiz 24 channel. Mr. Chukhov, please go ahead. Hello, good day, Mr. Gustav. Hello, colleagues. Arhiz 24 here. Here's my question. Karachayevsk-Tiberda pipeline is being actively constructed these days in Karachayev-Cherkessia, which we discussed back in September. That's a long-awaited facility, but as you know, we have more appetite as we start eating, and I'm wondering about other gas facilities which are going to appear in our republic in the years to come. Yes, exactly. About 3 minutes ago, I have mentioned this pipeline, Karachayevsk-Tiberda in Karachayev-Cherkessia. On top of that, the gas infrastructure expansion and gas distribution program in 2021 would finance new Tiberda settlement to Uchkulan settlement pipeline with connections to Elbruski settlement and Kartjud, Huzut, and Apa Uchkulan, with the total length of these pipelines standing at around 80 kilometers in total. So all of that area is going to have gas provided to. According to our calculations, that would mean about 1,135 individual households, hotels, boilers, and farming units to be getting gas in that area of your republic. On top of that, the gas distribution and gas infrastructure expansion program would have funding from Gazprom Gazorozpredelenie, the local distribution grid would have 18 more facilities added into the program. By the way, if you open up Gazprom Mezhregion Gas Telegram channel, you'll be able to see a video about construction of the pipeline from Karachaevsk to Tiberda. That's a very exciting role. With 8 kilometers of pipeline going not across, but rather along a very nice mountain stream. Thank you. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Interfax South. Ms. Laura Chekunova, please go ahead. Good morning, Mr. Gustav, colleagues. I have a question about the Republic of Kabardino-Balkaria, where Tarnavsky field is going to see production of wolfram ore restarted. That's about 1,000 new jobs and other processing and production facilities using wolfram and molybdenium. Considering further financial development of the region, I'm wondering whether any work is currently underway to take gas to this field, to this mine. Could you please mention the length and the investment required? Thank you. Well, I'm a mining engineer. Well, considering my educational background, so obviously I am aware of the tungsten molybdenium mine, and that facility is very important for social and economic development of the Republic. Following through on very strong ask of Mr. Korkov, the governor of the Republic. Mr. Korkov has asked personally to include construction of this very challenging pipeline. You know, it's high in the mountains. So he has asked to include that pipeline into our five-year plan to expand the gas infrastructure. That pipeline has made way into the program. I'm talking about a pipeline from Tirnaus settlement to the molybdenum mine. Work is underway, fully in line with the schedule. I can tell you that the design phase is set to be complete in 2022. So in that same year of 2022, we intend to commence construction. Our program in the region would mostly be focused on additional gas infrastructure expansion, because you must be aware that the density of gas availability in your region is very high indeed already. Okay, our next question is coming from Region 29, Arkhangelsk region. Mr. Ildar Habibulin, please go ahead. Good morning, Mr. Gustav. I have a question about Arkhangelsk, the regional center. I'm wondering whether the outskirts of the city, like Monikansky district, would be fed with gas. And one particular question is about the port of Economia, whether that is going to have good prospects. Thank you. Well, my deputy, Mr. Pakhomov, together with your deputy, head of the regional government, celebrated the launch of a major trunk pipeline yesterday, major distribution pipeline yesterday, including the pipeline connecting the heat and power plant in Arkhangelsk with the Economy district. That is part of your program for 2021 through 2025, which will go into sea gas fed into a wharf of Zvezdochka or Kuznetsa shipyard, including the nearby districts of Arkhangelsk. We are going to provide gas to the seaport of Arkhangelsk, which is an active player in development of the Arctic region, and will also be providing gas to the households, of course. Yesterday, they celebrated a construction, the start of construction of a connecting pipeline from Reka Sikha gas distribution station to Isaka Gorka station in the region of Arkhangelsk. Once that pipeline has been completed, we'll have gas fully available on the left bank of the city of Arkhangelsk. A lot has been discussed about that in the recent years, but the left bank is finally going to get their gas. And more important, most importantly, feed gas to 11 boilers. In my view, this is going to improve the environmental situation in the city of Arkhangelsk. Thank you. Thanks. Our next question is coming from Mr. Viktor Kiselyovsk, Komsomolskaya Pravda newspaper in Bryansk. Please go ahead. Mr. Gustav, colleagues, good morning. Can you hear me? Yep. Yes, we can. And we can see you as well. Speaking of the region of Bryansk, gas infrastructure is well developed with 82% of the population covered. We're talking about not about new connections, but rather safety. Even in the city of Bryansk, we have quite a lot of ovens that are not quite safe. These are old equipment, much beyond its initial time span, which is a concern. Quite unfortunately, many families and citizens, well, not many, but at least quite a lot of families and citizens in our region cannot really allocate much of their budget to buy new gas equipment. So they simply don't have the monies. I'm wondering if there is any initiative of the federal level to support such families and people. Thank you. Thank you for question, Viktor. Indeed, that's a very important question, safety of household gas. That's one of our priority issues, and whenever we meet the regional authorities, we always raise that, and we see a lot of support in the regions. We do discuss that issue with all regional governors. We need to replace obsolete gas equipment in standalone houses as well as apartments, because in-house gas equipment in apartment houses is not something we can be repairing, because that's property of the people. So we're asking that when a major overhaul is done on the building or on the gas equipment, at least that effort is taken into account as well. Gas supply in this country kick-started many years ago, so quite a lot of local grids rather obsolete. And when you're talking about crafted gas ovens, when they insert a gas cooker into an oven, and that's how they heat their houses, well, that's really obsolete indeed, coming from the days of yore. Unfortunately, that happens not only in the region of Bryansk, but also, let's say, the region of Tumen, where we see this kind of heating contraptions. Replacing these with more efficient gas-burning units, I don't know. That's one of our objectives. We work with the Department of social policy, demographics, and families. In the regional government of Bryansk, we have devised an efficient mechanism to support families with needs, and that covers about 800 families in the course of this year. They will receive financial support from the regional budget. So we're talking about compensating their costs of replacing outdated gas equipment. This issue is raised by us with every region, frankly, and I can tell you that in many Russian regions we enjoy a positive response. We see support to low-income families and families eligible for social benefits. This is handled by either the municipal budgets or the regional budget, but we are focused on that effort, among other things. And thank you for your question, Victor. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Tatiana Alexeeva, Svoboda newspaper from Tula. Please go ahead. Hello, can you hear me? Yep. My question is about the region of Tula and gas infrastructure expansion there. We are probably one of, in our region, gas is very broadly available because gas infrastructure expansion in the region of Tula started back in the 1950s. It so happens that in a number of settlements, the pipeline is available, but it was built many years ago without any consideration of the current situation there. The region of Tula is actively growing. We are number 4 in the national investment ranking, with lots of new industrial production facilities under construction. So our people very often see a situation when the pipeline is there, but it can only cover, I don't know, 10 households, while we see a new settlements added nearby, our industrial offtake coming up, and we see shortage of gas in this regard with technical constraints. What are you doing to overcome those constraints? Thank you. Tatiana, as an example, we built a gas distribution station in the south district of Tula. I understand a cancer clinic is being built in that district. The city of Tula has gas, but not that district. So we built a gas distribution station, and that portion of the city got reliable gas supply, even though the city of Tula has had gas all the time, or long ago. Well, speaking of the whole region, as well as other regions, not only Tula, but other regions where gas is long available, we have devised measures to improve the throughput capacity and reduce shortages of gas. Recently, we have built Novotulskaya gas distribution station, which has allowed a new Vtorchermet metal recycling plant to be connected. We have discussed that with Mr. Dermin, the governor. He has listed a number of important industrial facilities which require gas, and by providing such, we are also renovating gas distribution stations and also replacing some of the pipelines to increase their throughput capacity. I believe that the gas infrastructure expansion program for 2021 through 2025 will fully resolve the issue of those pipelines and gas distribution stations in the region of Tula that are lacking throughput capacity. The social and economic development of the region raises the question of reliable supply of gas to new industrial facilities, and we're working in sync with the regional government to attain that goal. I believe we don't have any issue outstanding. Like what you're talking about is an issue, but we're tackling that very fast. Thank you. Colleagues, we have been with you for 1 hour and 20 minutes, so we're ready to take three last questions now. Elena Borisova, Region 64, a publication from Saratov region. Please go ahead. Hello, can you hear me? Yes, we can. Please go ahead. Good morning. Here's my question. The region of Saratov today has an issue of pipelines with no owner, like connecting a new off-taker to such a pipeline with no owner is impossible. What is Mezhregion Gas doing to resolve this issue? Thank you. Thank you, Lena. Indeed. Those pipelines with no owner is an issue not only in the city of Saratov, but also elsewhere throughout the country. At some time ago, those pipelines were built and then discarded, effectively. So we believe the total length of such pipelines is about 8,000 kilometers across the country. While the total length of pipelines is 960,000. So 8,000 out of 960,000 has no owner. So last year, 1,200 kilometers have been accepted by the municipalities, and law only prescribes one procedure to register such equipment. As you are aware, the law prescribes that one must acknowledge these pipelines derelict or unpossessed. Then the municipalities would take over them, and then we'll buy them from the municipalities. So we're working with the regional administration to identify those derelict properties. So within 1 or 2 years from now, we may see that completed. Sometimes we have to file a motion with the General Prosecutor's Office to initiate this procedure so that municipalities take ownership of unpossessed property. So within 1 or 2 years from now, we'll have finally resolved this issue, hopefully. If there is any issue in connecting to an unpossessed pipeline, we'll move faster and get down to it. Thank you. Okay, our next question is coming from Denis Abrakov, rzn.info from Ryazan region. Can you hear me? Yep. Yes, we can see you. And can you hear? Yes, hello. Good morning, colleagues. Mr. Gustav, I would like to carry on with the safety issue of in-house gas equipment. As you have rightly put it, the owners are in charge, which involve dedicated companies to service and replace their equipment. The situation is changing over the recent years with lots of companies getting onto the market. It so happens in Ryazan that one company would control the in-house piping, others would control equipment within the apartments. All of them would like to have access to the apartment, and the pricing policy is not so clear. So how can one trust these companies? Please explain. Indeed, this is a very important question. Every meter of the pipeline within the house and also gas equipment must be serviced by dedicated companies. About 10 years ago, a decision was made to discontinue a licensing policy from the side of the government. So many companies have appeared who are just a get together of five friends who decide they can service gas equipment. We have opposed this by all means to ensure that gas distribution companies try to get responsible for servicing in-house equipment and in-house piping. So each company would define the tariffs themselves because the government decided no longer to prescribe any tariff. The only tariff prescribed was the emergency response service, like there is a dedicated number to be dialed, 0.04. That emergency service comes at a prescribed tariff. As I have said, amendments into the bylaws are currently being drafted, which would change by a degree the current procedure of servicing in-house equipment and piping. We are fully supportive of this initiative. In the past 6 weeks, this bill has gotten to the lower chamber of our parliament, the State Duma. So single contract would be signed then between the building management company on the one hand and the company servicing both in-house piping and in-house gas equipment. We believe that the law would prescribe it would be a dedicated, specialized organization which would really simplify the discussions between apartment owners and this company, and then a tariff committee would then prescribe the tariff. You would only need to let gas service employee into your apartment who is a uniformed person with a document, and they would call you before arrival. If you invite them, Dennis, to service your equipment in the house. So give us some time, just a short span of time, and we'll have this system fully in order. Thank you, Mr. Gustav. Thank you, colleagues. And one final question is coming from Krasnodar Krai. Mr. Alexander Goncharenko. I have a question. Hello, about gas supply to the port of Novorossiysk, and also the city of Novorossiysk, which is a very timely question ahead of the holiday season. I understand we are a port city, but nonetheless, with domestic tourism so popular these days, for obvious reasons, we have an inflow of tourists in the summer. Thank you, Alexander. Indeed, we are working to implement a gas infrastructure expansion and gas distribution in the Krasnodar Krai, especially for those districts where gas was not available previously. Now, two new settlements have joined in. They're nearby, close to Novorossiysk, Fedotovka and Shirokaya Balka. Frankly speaking, I think I even visited Shirokaya Balka as a kid for a health resort, and it was very nice for me to deliver gas there finally. In the span of 5 years to come, we're going to see gas available in 723 households around Novorossiysk. That's a number we'll get from the additional gas infrastructure expansion effort and its calculation and a few boilers. And then to Apse, Gelenjik, and the adjacent areas have removed their technological constraints in the gas supply system. So we're getting all sorts of health resorts, also resorts for children. So it's happening this year, in 2021. So that criticism we're getting is no longer there. You'll see how fast we bring the gas into the region. By the way, on the 24th of June this year, we're going to start the flow of gas to Arlyonok Health Resort Center, which is a nationwide popular health resort for children. If you can attend, I'm most happy to extend an invitation to you to this nationwide event, Orlyonok Health Resort for Children. So we'll be happy to meet with you and discuss gas deliveries to this part of Krasnodar Krai. Thank you. Colleagues, I would like to thank you at this point. We are wrapping up with this press conference, and we do see a lot of questions for those that have not been covered today due to the lack of time. We're going to be handled by the PR department of Межрегион Gas. Thank you. Colleagues, indeed, we have a PR department at Gazprom Межрегион Gas. Gazprom Межрегион Gas is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. We are available at various platforms, including YouTube, Telegram, and the others. We are very open to discussions. We are happy to take feedback and respond to questions of not only journalists, but also citizens of Russia and our customers. We are open to your questions, users of our services, and anyone interested in information on Gazprom Межрегион Gas. I would like to thank you for taking part in this press conference and see you again, hopefully, at the new facilities of Russia that have received gas thanks to our effort. Thank you, colleagues.